for...
We tabled it.
Well, we tabled it, yes, yes.
No, that's for the retreat. Yeah, we did, we tabled the chairs and Joseph's community impact statement. Okay, so let's, so you need two votes right now, Jeanette?
Yeah, so I...
Okay, so, that's fine, that's fine. I make a motion that we approve the treasurer's report and the $4 and...
$4.70, treasurer's report.
The $4 and seven...
Not to exceed $1,500.
All right.
Let's do two separate votes, okay. So for the first vote, I make a motion that we adopt the treasurer's report.
Seconded.
With that, I call for the vote.
Okay, in 1 second, will I catch up? Okay, President Thomas?
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin?
Yes.
Secretary Hendry, aye. Treasurer Hopp?
Aye.
Ms. Meyer?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz?
Yes.
Ms. Skelton? Still not here, okay. Mr. Waleko?
Yes.
Mr. Anon?
Aye.
Mr. De La Cuesta?
Yes.
Ms. Patton?
Aye.
Mr. Lynn?
Aye.
Mr. Luna?
Aye.
Mr. Moravi?
Yes.
It passes.
Very good, and then the next vote we are taking will be to approve 8C, the planning and execution for our annual retreat, not to exceed $1,500. I can't see how we would even exceed $100. It'll be us buying food. However, I do want to make copies of the state of Van Nuys. If you guys remember when the UCLA graduate students poured over all of the data for Van Nuys, I would like to incur a cost as part of the $1,500 to make copies of this for all of the council members and then have a few extra for any interested constituents. And Miriam, we'll get Miriam one.
Libraries?
Yeah.
Yes. This report is amazing what they came up with. I showed my father, who worked at Aetna and Chandler Lumber in Van Nuys in the 70s, and he looked over this and is like, this is ridiculously great, and everyone on the council should have a copy of it. So I'm heeding my parents' advice, and I think part of the $1,500 should be everyone gets a copy of this, and then we'll buy Subway sandwiches. So, yes.
You could also get it from the website, too.
Yes.
Yeah, we did post it on the website.
Yep, I did see that. You guys are doing a good job with the website. So without objection, I make a motion we adopt 8C as is.
Seconded.
With that, I call for the vote, Mr. Secretary.
President Thomas?
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin?
Yes.
Secretary Hendry, aye. Treasurer Hopp?
Aye.
Ms. Meyer?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz?
Yes.
Mr. Waleko?
Yes.
Mr. Anon?
Aye.
Mr. De La Cuesta?
Aye.
Ms. Patton?
Yes.
Mr. Lynn?
Aye.
Mr. Luna? Mr. Moravi?
Yes.
Passes.
Very good. We do have a speaker card in from Mr. Mark Reed, who is a candidate for the United States House of Representatives. So we are going to jump to hearing from Mr. Reed, and then we will get back to planning and land use. So without further ado, Mr. Mark Reed, ladies and gentlemen, you're recognized, Mr. Reed.
Good evening, Board of Directors of the day, Van Nuys Neighborhood Council. My name is Mark Reed. I'm the elected congressional candidate for the West San Fernando Valley. I've been a lifelong resident of the Valley and a business owner and property owner. I would like to bring back to the West San Fernando Valley a point of priority of bringing federal resources back to the San Fernando Valley via the VA, Sepulveda VA, also our education system, of bringing back trade schools. I'm sorry, I'm out of breath. I ran to my truck and ran back, and I'm over 50, and it just took it out of me. I tell you, I'm not 20 years old anymore. I have 9 grandchildren and 3 adult children. I thought they'd keep me in shape, and it hasn't worked. But anyways, we need to get back to the trade schools and a partnership with the Chambers of Commerce. Have been able to envelope our kids, because we have to really look at a stark reality. Our high schools are failing our children. They're graduating high school without the proper tools and environment to actually become productive individuals within our community. The highest unemployment rate today is amongst our newly college graduates. It's because the jobs have left the country. The West San Fernando Valley, the high-skilled, high-paying, career-orientated jobs are leaving the San Fernando Valley. One of the last ones is the Pratt Whitney over on DeSoto. Even though they've gotten a $2.8 billion contract to build the rocket engines, that's slated by United Technologies to actually go to China. You know, we need to have congressmen who believe in the San Fernando Valley. I grew up here. I remember the GM plant, Van Nuys, you know, drive-in, sneaking all my friends in the trunk. You know, I remember the Helms Bakery. I remember Pratt Whitney, Rocketdyne, Raytheon. I remember all of the high-skilled, high-paying jobs and career opportunities for our high school graduates. If you graduated with a high school diploma, you could walk into any one of them. And within 10 years, you could be trained on the line to be able to have a high five-digit or six-digit income. Like I said, we need a congressman that actually will put a priority back to the San Fernando Valley and stop the campaigning on the taxpayer's dime. The incumbent, Brad Sherman, always campaigns on the concept that he's done over 160 town hall meetings. If I put on one of the town hall meetings that he puts on, I did all the targeted mailers by Frank Mail. If I paid for all of this, it would cost me over $500,000 a town hall meeting. What has he shown for this? He's authored three bills. Three bills. Anybody name them? Two of them were to rename a post office in Northridge, which is now closed because the federal government has raided the pension plans of our postal workers. The other one was an amendment to an immigration bill for Indian Americans. The incumbent has been in there 18 years. The San Fernando Valley has a history with the Hispanic or Latino community. My grandmother was from Guadalajara. My wife over here's grandmother was from Jalisco. You look at the Fernando family and the mission over here, the San Fernando mission. The Hispanic community has an unbelievable culture in the San Fernando Valley of all the farming districts going way back. How many of you grew up in the San Fernando Valley? Raise your hand. Hear ye, hear ye. I remember getting into my parents' Mercury station wagon going to Malibu thinking I was going cross country because you were going through all of the orchards. You know, it was beautiful. But this is the Hispanic community, and Congress has failed the Hispanic community because they don't have competent reform and enforcement of immigration policies as well. This humanitarian issue that's happening across the border is a creation of the lack of movement of our Congress, nothing else. We want to find blame. It's on both sides of the aisle. It's on both sides of the aisle, not the Republican side, not the Democrat side. It is our Congress who has failed. America has failed the Hispanic community, has failed our Hispanic neighbors, because we need real reform in the light of economic policy reform with Central and South America in addressing the culture of corruption in our neighbor's country. Because do we have the same problems with Canada as we do with Central and South America? No. We don't. We have a great business partner relationship with them. But yet, why haven't we gotten it right?
Any questions for Mr. Reed? Penelope.
Yes.
What's your party affiliation?
Well, I'm a registered Republican, okay? I always bring up the fact that I was raised by a lieutenant commander in the United States Navy. And my father taught me to pledge my allegiance to this great nation and not to a political party. Because I honestly believe both sides of the aisle have screwed things up quite well for us. See, but my mom taught me another valuable lesson in life, that there's two entities that are right 100% of the time, and if you want to be a happy man, you never question it. That's our God and my wife. Any other questions?
Anything else for Mr. Reed?
I'm going to pass out some flyers and cards as well for everybody here. Because some of you don't live in the district. You know, you're outside of the district. But the San Fernando Valley, as I grew up in it, is a huge family. It's the San Fernando Valley. So you know people that are going to live in the district?
That's a very important question.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, what's going on in the Middle East? How would you address the problem with ISIS?
How would I address the problem? A lot of people want to argue whether or not we should have gone to Iraq. We don't need to argue that anymore. We went over there. We did what we did. We have a moral obligation now to the Iraqis, to the Yazidis, to the Assyrians. We have moral obligations at this point because it goes beyond just Iraq. It goes into Lebanon. It goes into Syria. It goes into Egypt. It goes into Libya. We have created a cluster mess over there at this point in time. We should have never pulled all of our boots off out of Iraq. And we've never done that in World War I or World War II. We didn't do that. Because once you create that instability of removing a dictator, you have to be there to make sure the vacuum is not replaced with an extreme regime. At this point, answering very poignant, we need to have real targeted air campaign to take out ISIS. Because if we don't, they're going to be here. And that's proven. That is actually proven already. So we need to back up Kurdistan and the Kurds. We need to give them the arms. We need to stop pussyfooting around. And it's not that I advocate war. Trust me. My family, like I said, is all military. But I boxed for 6 years. When you enter in an arena where it's two in, one out, which one do you want to be? I want to be the one walking out.
All right, Mr. Luna and then Candy. Mr. Luna?
Thank you for...
Miriam. You can discuss this with Mr. Reed after when we get back to the meeting.
Let me ask a little
Councilmember Luna, you're recognized.
Thank you, sir. Let me ask a little bit more of a...
There you are.
Let me ask a little bit more of a local question.
Yes, sir.
Both being parents, and I have a school-aged child. What's your opinion on Common Core?
I don't like it.
Okay.
I share Ronald Reagan's opinion of diminishing the power and oversight of the federal government's Department of Education, returning it to the state and local levels. There's a tremendous amount of resources that are consumed by the transition of money to the feds back to the states. We need to give control back to local schools.
Thank you. I agree. Thank you.
Candida.
States that really suffer because of this, California, Arizona, Texas, it's going to overwhelm us. It's already overwhelming us, but it has to be done in a proper way. So I hope that you'll carry that to Congress if you move forward.
I fully agree, and I look at it in reversal. Everybody, and I've said this to a lot of high-ranking Republicans, we need to stop looking at the border issue. We need to stop looking at immigration issue. We need to look at the root cause and the problem, which is the culture of corruption in Central and South America, right? It's our economic policies in Central and South America. Is it creating and sustaining an economic infrastructure that creates a quality of life that they want to stay in their countries? Now, every Hispanic, like I say, my wife and I are both of Hispanic origin. You talk to most Hispanics. It's a beautiful country down there. I've been down there several times. I wouldn't want to move. It's just like, why do a lot of people move from the state of California? We have the greatest weather. Look at the sunsets. Gorgeous, right? They're moving because economic regulations and taxations and burdens are driving them out of the state of California. Doesn't it bother all of you that Rick Perry comes on our television here and starts soliciting the businesses to leave California? Mm-hmm. It even bothers you more when they get up and leave. I mean, I've listened to Rick in a speech at the convention hall. He talked about doing a presentation, and he said he's watching everybody look out the windows. He finally turned around and looked at the most beautiful sunset he ever saw in his life. But yet people are willing to leave this because of what's happening in the state of California. We're the most business unfriendly,
okay. So we'll do
tax and overburdened state in the union.
Councilwoman Padden, and then Donna, and then we're moving on.
Two questions.
Yes.
Have you been in the armed forces?
I have not. I went to join the armed services like my brothers. I have five brothers that served in combat in Vietnam. I went in because I grew up in Sun Valley, which, you know, it was kind of a rough neighborhood. I actually had a Coke bottle broken over my head at 13 years old, and it went through my inner and outer eardrum, so it threw my equilibrium off. So they said that I'd never be able to fly, you know, combat missions. So I decided to join a different institution, and I married my wife, so I've been institutionalized for 37 years. That's a different branch of service. But yeah, second.
It doesn't have a prize.
Yes.
Who are you running against?
I'm running against Brad Sherman.
Yes. All right, Donna, and then we're getting back to planning and land use. Hanson.
I am a proponent, just like worldwide. When you look at India and you look at Pakistan, both recognize that all commerce is done in English. So they speak English over there as well. I am an English first. I also believe that you don't discourage all ethnicities of learning their language. I'm part Mohawk and Apache. And most of your stories passed down traditionally are passed down in your language. And it's a very important aspect and sense of origin to know your own language. But it's pertaining to succeeding within America. English is a very important thing. Otherwise, you look at the segregations within, even in L.A. I mean, I walk into some of the restaurants down there, and you can't order up because it's in, you know, Cantonese. It's in Chinese. And I want to know what it is, but I can't do it, so I don't go down there. Last point that I wanted to bring up within the San Fernando Valley is we all know that there's a major water crisis in the state of California. When you look out at the San Fernando Valley, the San Fernando Valley is one gigantic underground lake. It's an aquifer that we are not tapped into. The federal government, through its contracts in the North Hills, actually poisoned 50% of the wells that actually draw the water out for DWP. 4.5 years ago, the incumbent Brad Sherman promised to bring back $600 million to set up the filtration system so we can bring these wells online. He didn't succeed. Now the Department of Water and Power wants to build the filtration systems and charge you, the ratepayer, $800 million. Not criticizing the DWP, but we all know how efficient they are. We know by the time they get done building the $800 million water filtration plants, we're going to be billed about $1.2 billion for it. Okay? We need to have a congressman who can develop a relationship with the Army Corps of Engineers. We have the Van Norman Dam, the lower dam, that's dry because they don't want to fix it. We have the Chatsworth Dam that's not being utilized. We have the Sun Valley percolation pits over there that are not being utilized to bring them back in line. We have the Sepulveda Dam that's not being utilized properly because every winter, when you see the rains happening, you go over here to the Sepulveda Dam and you see that huge concrete channel full to the brim, billions of gallons of water going out to the ocean. Even now in our 105-degree temperatures, you see a 2-foot deep by 40-foot wide swath of water heading out to the ocean. But yet, the state of California, the county, and the city of Los Angeles is telling you to cut back on your water. They're telling you that you cannot have the plush green yards that Southern California has been used to. You're going to have to start looking like Arizona, a desert again. Well, I'm sorry. Mulholland had a better idea for the Los Angeles basin, and so did the Colorado River, bringing the water in here. So we need a congressman, like I said, that understands to bring resources back to the San Fernando Valley, because the San Fernando Valley is my home. I was born and raised here. My children were born and raised here. My grandchildren were born and raised here. And I want the San Fernando Valley to be what it was when I was a kid. And that is a community, family-friendly atmosphere where our kids graduating from high school have a hell of an opportunity to join the workforce here in Los Angeles, not in Texas. Thank you very
much. Thank you, Mr. Reed. All right, back to planning and land use. 8E5628 North Sepulveda Boulevard. Zone variance, conditional use permit, site plan review. They're requesting a CUP to allow the expansion of the existing four-story, 56-foot-high hotel with a new construction of a 48,000-square-foot, 78-room hotel. Carino, this came out of your committee just fine?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and you will be supporting this? Beautiful. So is Aram in the room?
Actually, he's not available, but the representative from Hampton Inn and also the associate of Aram, Saka Mokosi, is able to present.
Very good. Welcome, gentlemen. Absolutely. So let's do like a two-minute briefing, and then any council member or constituent questions?
So this going
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. My name is Angelo. I'm the general manager of Hampton Inn Suites. Hampton Inn is a brand of Hilton. We opened the property in 2007. So Sako is here. If you have any question, we are willing to answer all your questions.
Does anybody have any questions in regards to this? Maria Skelton. Does anybody else have any questions? Candito, and then David, I saw you have a speaker card in, so we'll call on you in a sec. Mr. Rankel, come on down. All right.
So there are a couple concerns that I have, just being an area resident and driving by the property on a daily basis. One is I looked at the rear, and I think I did bring it to your committee that there was some spray-painted graffiti on the rear block wall that faces single-family homes on Halliburton Avenue. Drove by about 2 days ago, two, 3 days ago, that graffiti was still there. And it's been, I think, at least a month or two since we were at your meeting. That graffiti has yet to be removed. I did point it out to Officer Kabunik. But, you know, if I was a single-family homeowner living on a residential street, I'd be kind of concerned about that and any potential expansion there. You've got to be a good neighbor in order to get the approvals needed. Additionally, I don't know where, unfortunately, I didn't go back to your meeting. Did they come back? They did come back. And I missed that. So I hope that the parking was addressed, because right now, as I drove by, I think it was last night, I see cars still parking on their main site, not the new parking lot next door that's at grade. But on the main site, people are still parking in what I describe as a fire lane and under the canopy. So the question is, Did they add parking because they already have a parking problem? And if they expand and extend rooms out to that additional parcel, they're going to need even more parking. So my concern is really parking, aesthetics to the community. I'm not concerned about the operation per se of the hotel, but I want to make sure that it's a good neighbor to the single-family neighborhood that this project does abut on Halbrand Avenue just to the rear. I think that was about it. And the argument on the parking was that we're not an airport. It's Sepulveda Boulevard in Van Nuys, Sherman Oaks. So everybody, for the most part, is going to drive. You're not going to land at LAX, hop on the metro, and take the public transportation to this hotel. So you're going to be here for Universal Studios or maybe Magic Mountain or some of the businesses up on Ventura Boulevard. So the parking really is, I think, the biggest single concern that I have here. And one other thing to mention is we never really got a good definitive answer as to who the actual property owner was. What we did hear, and we asked several of you asked that question, and all I heard answered was it's Hampton Inn Sherman Oaks LLC or something to that effect. And my concern is I want to know who owns the property, because there's a property next door to it that also doesn't have sufficient parking and has a marijuana dispensary, which may be compliant, but that property next door isn't very well maintained at times, and if you drive by, you can see the visual evidence of that. If it is the same property owner, then I'm quite concerned. So I hope that you guys will do a little digging and figure out exactly what we're looking at here. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Can you guys address Mr. Rankel's concerns, please?
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Council President and Honorable Council Members. My name is Salko Marcusi. Aramal Adjajan is my partner. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here tonight. And yes, I could address that parking issue. Actually, right now, the hotel, it's code compliance by way of providing number of parkings that the code zoning code requires, but it comes out to about half a space per room, which is like 48 parking stalls right now. The addition will add another 146 parking stalls, which will add up to about one parking per room, so twice as much as, so it would be, that way the parking is really in excess of what the code requires, not what we're providing. We're putting three stories of subterranean parking at the next door lot to accommodate additional parking.
Did you want to follow up with that, David?
Which lot is that?
That's
to be
the lot, the empty car.
Park and sale?
Yes.
There used to be park. Yes. So you're going to build over there subterranean parking?
Yes, subterranean parking. And the extension is going to be over the subterranean parking.
So it's going to be down below?
Yes, down below, yes.
So David, to follow up.
So right now,
yes.
It's how many spaces? How many rooms do you have now, and how many spaces? And by spaces, okay. I mean physically striped spaces for parking, because I noticed you have parking in the front that is exclusively for Hilton's top level of guests. And so if I'm just Joe Q citizen flying in from Omaha, Nebraska, and I want to stay at your hotel, how many available parking spaces are there today?
Right now we have 96 rooms and 56 parking spaces.
Wow, that's what's causing what I'm seeing and have been since the hotel was built.
But
okay, so what you're telling us is that you're going to have one space per room?
Yes.
But you told me, you just said a minute ago, three levels and 100 and some odd spaces?
The new added parking with three levels and 146 parking space.
So how many
rooms are you adding?
We're adding 78 total rooms.
So 78 rooms and you're adding 103 additional spaces?
No, 146 additional parking spaces.
146. So
yes.
You're going to have a total of what on the site between the two properties?
146 plus 48. Because of providing access to the lower level parking, we have to eliminate some of the parking stalls. So we have 48 plus 146. It's close to 200 stalls.
The parking that we have now isn't going, some of that existing parking is not going to be
The majority of the parking stays. The only part of the parking that goes away is where we're providing access to a lower level ramp from the Sepulveda side.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Let's go Camby, Ms. Patton, and then Ms. Skelton.
David was asking who's the owner of the property is.
The contract that we have is with an LLC, and I deal with the management.
What if Hilton sells it to different franchisee or different company?
No, the entity is not Hilton. Hilton is a franchise. They're the franchisee. The LLC is the owner of the property. Hilton is not. Right? Can I correct?
We're under the Hilton umbrella, and then with this expansion, we're working on additional 20 years of extension on the franchise agreement. So once this expansion is approved, actually the initial plan was already approved by Hilton.
So the owner is what? Who is the owner?
The owner is Hampton Inn Sepulveda Inc. It's a corporation.
We're not getting the answer. It's not Hilton Corporation.
If you're asking for individual, the owner's name is Nick Nishanian.
There you go. Kathleen.
What if there's two car owners per room?
You got a problem.
I'm sorry?
What if there are two car owners per room?
Most of our guests are coming from the corporate, from the Hilton. So these are mostly group accounts. So let's say there's a group of 10 guests. So most of them, they come in shuttle. So not all, let's say the occupancy is 100%, not all of them bring their own car because they come in with groups.
Ms. Skelton. All right, let's hear from Mr. Hendry and then back to Mr. Runkel. Mr. Hendry.
Okay. The interest, this is essentially very close to my neighborhood, and I'm very pleased to see the interest in spending all this money, but I'm very concerned. I can't think the neighborhood can digest all of what has been happening on Sepulveda Boulevard on this block and the area up around Costco, and it just, the traffic problems, I'm concerned about unforeseen consequences, very simply. It bothers me a great deal.
Mr. Rankow?
What are you suggesting?
And two other comments. It's coming back to me, the land use meeting that we had over at Van Nuys Station. Penny Meyer, correct me if I'm wrong, Penny, I believe was the board member that asked them to do significant community outreach to the adjacent residential community, and I haven't heard that that's been done. So I'd be concerned if that wasn't done.
Okay. Yeah, because I did mention to Aram to do the outreach to Jonathan Brand, the lodge office, and also to Karen Gannon from the Noble Estates. And I did get a confirmation that they did meet with them, the Noble Estates Association, and they do approve it. They've answered all the concerns, and they approve this project.
So the neighbors that are directly affected would be affected behind it. Those people all receive some kind of notification about the project. I think that was Penny's intent, was to actually have the most affected people notified.
Yeah, I mean that's part of the planning process. far as doing the radius, but and I did mention that, but I also mentioned to contact with Karen because they're the one who organizes the.
Not to split hairs, but does Van Nuys Neighborhood Council have a process where when a land use matter comes up, the applicant, in this case the Hampton Inn LLC of Sherman Oaks, is required to provide copies and pay for mailing to,
yes,
say, a 500-foot radius? Is that,
yes.
They do. They have to.
Yes, we have already done all of that, and all the package that is submitted for land use variances contains the mailing labels, the 500 feet radius.
That's for planning, but I'm just saying on the neighborhood council side. So you did do it. The neighborhood council did do or oversee it. Okay, that's great. Great. I'm glad. I'm happy that the neighbors were notified. The only other comment I have, and then I'm really done, is my concern hearing the general manager say that they're in negotiations with Hilton Hotel for a lease renewal, which brings the question up to all of us, and this is something that all neighborhood councils have issues with. If this is approved now, you're giving them an approval to expand a hotel. You're not stipulating that it shall remain, and the condition of approval only applies to the Hilton, brand of Hampton Inn, meaning that if they go to Hilton and Hilton says you have not operated up to our operating agreement with the property, and they don't renew the contract, or they terminate it for any kind of breach, that then we could have some other hotel brand come into that facility, and it might not be such a reputable brand as Hilton. It could be another Motel 6. I'm not saying, you know, Motel 6 isn't reputable. It's a lower-end brand. And so that's the concern. I would feel much more secure if they achieve that 20-year contract and provide that, and then the approval is given, as opposed to giving them the approval before they have that approval from the Hilton Hotels Corporation.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Fair enough. Councilmember Luna, then Councilmember Hendry. Mr. Luna.
Thank you, sir. Me personally, I think I'm ready to vote. I just had a question. If I could ask a question to Mr. Rankel.
I don't see why not.
How far away do you live from this location?
My Sherman Oaks home is probably a mile and a half. Yeah, a mile. I'd say about a mile and a half.
Okay,
but
thank
I do
you.
Transverse. My office is probably just about the same distance. My office, I have an office in Ventura, Sepulveda.
Okay.
So I have a property in Van Nuys, so sometimes multiple times a day. I eat, live, you know, shop right there at the gas in Sepulveda and Burbank, so I'm constantly, you know, impacted by what goes on the corridor.
Great, thank you.
Mr. Hendry.
This is one that's what really bothers me about the whole process. I live, let's say, 1,000 feet away. I would think with the cheap price of emailing and mailing and things that neighborhood councils ought to get involved and send out to 1,000 or a 1,500-foot radius. I think the city is very cheap in defining a 500-foot radius, and personally, that may be what you guys would like because that's what the law says, but I can't see why it wouldn't hurt the neighborhood councils to go into business of going and getting cheap abilities and mailing to a 1,500-foot radius and see what the polling would be.
Well, we cannot get private email addresses from the city.
We could go use a friendly post office where I happened to work for many years. Well, just do it as a mailing.
With
you know what a mailing would cost to 1,000 residents?
They have made it much cheaper now for individual flyers.
Without further ado,
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Lazarovitz.
Concerns security. You're going to install security systems in the new hotel, and do you have in the old one?
Yeah, actually, in one of the meetings with Officer Cabuno, we toured him around the property. Right now, there is an existing more than 40 cameras in the property. So, and we
40.
Yeah, okay. And we have our own in-house security.
How about this? Well, you have the problem with the wall over there that's being graffiti. Do you have a camera there?
In the back,
yeah. In the back wall, where you have the graffiti problem, do you have a camera there?
Right now, there's none.
would you install one? This way we can eliminate the problem if we have a picture and finding out who's doing it.
Yes, actually, that's one of the recommendations of Officer Cabonok when we toured the property. Right. So he showed us exactly where he recommends to put those.
Are you going to have cameras in subterranean parking?
Yes, we will have cameras.
And all the levels?
That's correct. So I know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Anything else for these applicants?
We're taking any suggestions and recommendations that the police department has, especially Officer Kudo, that, you know, they know the state-of-the-art security that because they have to be, they work on that every day. So we take their advice, and as you mentioned, yeah, the subterranean, the whole building, the back of the building, everything will have cameras monitored.
Okay.
If I may add something, Mr. President, in the papers that I gave to you, one of the letters that came from the Hilton CFO congratulating the Hampton Inn for being the number two worldwide. So this property is bringing prestige in the area.
Sure. Without objection, if it pleases the council, I make a motion that we adopt the language as is on 8E and vote on supporting the.
I second.
We have a second from Mr. Luna. I call for the vote, Mr. Secretary.
President Thomas?
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin?
Yes.
Secretary Hendry? No. Treasurer Hopp?
Yes.
Ms. Meyer?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz?
Yes.
Ms. Skelton?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Waleko?
Not here.
Not here. Mr. Anand?
Gone.
Sure. Mr. Anand? Aye, you say? Okay. Mr. De La Cuesta?
Yes.
Ms. Padden?
Decline.
Is that what, decline?
You can decline.
Stay. Okay. Different than, okay, Mr. Lynn?
No.
Mr. Luna?
No.
Mr. Marabi?
Yes.
Nine aye, three no, one abstain.
No passes.
President, does it pass?
What is the ruling on that? Does it need 11 to pass?
No.
No. Majority.
The majority.
The majority of the quorum present.
All right, so it passes, and if you can get the language and the letter that you want out of us to Carino, we'll work on that expeditiously. All right, moving on, 8F, 14725 Sherman Way, a zoning variance site plan review. They are requesting a letter of support for a zoning variance to install a 5-foot to 6-foot high wrought iron fence and multiple pedestrian gates in front of existing unoccupied single-family homes. A variance is necessary as the fence is located. Case number ZA, 2014-1975. Are you Ben Rocha? Ben Rocha, how are you, sir?
What is the address?
This is 14725 Sherman Way.
Sherman Way, okay.
Carino, this got out of your committee just fine.
That's where the new.
And you will be voting to support this?
Yes.
Very good. Ben, you have the floor.
It is a respect for immigrants.
Thank you.
You didn't support immigrants.
Huh? Good evening, Van Nuys Neighborhood Council. My name is Ben Rocha. I work for Richmond American Homes. I am the project manager for this community at 14725 Sherman Way. The name of the community is Azalea. We are currently under construction and currently selling. And we purchased this project from another developer. And the oversight was that a pedestrian fence along Sherman Way, because we have 8 homes that face Sherman Way. And if you look at the view at the bottom, it's kind of small to see, but the elevation is, this is just a section.
Mm-hmm.
It's a typical. This is what we're proposing, a 5.5-foot tubular steel wrought iron fence.
Mm-hmm.
in the middle of the community, a vehicular gate. Currently, there's nothing there. And about 95% of the foot traffic that enters our sales office, first question is, will this community be gated? Because let's face it, this is right on Sherman Way between Van Nuys Boulevard and Kester Avenue. And the concern is that everything else in the neighborhood and the surrounding uses is gated. So they want to have that peace of mind, that security, that they're going to buy into a community that will be secure, safe for their children to run around and play, and protected from the, let's face it, the neighborhood, that it's not the safest. So.
Are those condominiums?
No, these are for sale, detached, single family townhomes.
Detached townhomes, okay. Do they have their own garages?
They have their own garages, and they are, in every sense of the word, single family. Correct.
And what's the average square footage?
So these are three level. Average square foot is about 1,600 square feet. There's 63 total in the entire community. We are just in the early phases of construction. We've just started our phase two out of a total of seven phases.
And what are they going to go for about?
Approximately $410, $420 base price before starting adding options. Mm-hmm. And I would like to tell you a little bit about Richmond American Homes, since we are a nationally ranked public home builder, building in 11 states. We pride ourselves in selling to young families, especially in this community, couples, working families, not to investors, not to, you know, this is going to be for, like I said, starter families that want to eventually move up. And so that's the problem we're facing. We've already met with Plum. We've gotten their support. We have this application that's in for review by the planning department.
Yes, sir.
No, we don't.
Who left?
Luna left.
Naravi just left. That's terrible.
Do not have it.
That's terrible.
It's only 9:30.
I think we should make it the point. I mean, we can put it in our bylaws. You got to stay until the end of the. You took an oath. You know, I mean, it's an office. I mean, well, I have things to do, too.
It shouldn't take too long.
I have things to do,
no,
too.
No, we can rifle through this. If we could bring them back.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
And
I mean,
then.
You know, I know people are, you know, busy.
And then Camby also.
Yeah, we need to cut the meeting shorter, though.
So we'll stop with the questions. We can cut it short.
Thank you, Miriam. Thank you very much.
When questions are not asked every 5 seconds.
Penelope.
Meetings.
Yes.
We still don't have enough.
Yes, you know, and it was a very valid suggestion. I ran it up.
We have 11
in our internal team, and we agreed that that is something we can definitely implement. Adding some vines to, and by the way, let's face this fence will definitely enhance the community.
I have another question. It's always, the question comes about parking. Parking is always an issue. Are we going to have enough parking spaces not only for the people who live there, but for people to come to visit, for the visitor, for example?
We have satisfied the parking requirement.
I know those sometimes kind of lack spaces, you know, like half a space per room.
Yes, agreed. But based on the zoning entitlements, we have satisfied the required guest parking for this project. However, we are here before tonight. The proposal is for the fence, not for the parking. Okay. All due respect.
Does anybody else have any questions for Ben? I mean, at this point, because we've lost our quorum, what we can do is basically do a voice or support vote for this, and then we will have to ratify our vote at the next council meeting. What is your time frame, or is this time sensitive?
Very. This is extremely time sensitive. We've been working closely with Acli Padilla in Council District to move the permit, the process.
Like how time
along.
Sensitive?
Well, we have homeowners.
Thank you, Miriam. Thank you very much.
We have homeowners then. In escrow.
Okay.
That will cancel escrow depending on the decision of this fence.
Okay, so
this has to be approved. I mean, we would like for this to be approved prior to October of this year.
Prior to October, that's easy enough. A couple things. What we can do is Carino is the chairman of the Plum Committee can give a letter of support from your committee, you as the committee chair, which they could submit into record. And then what the council could do is vote on this, but then we would table this and then ratify our vote at the next council meeting. Or the recommendation of this council would be to adopt the vote we're taking now with the quorum. I think the golden ticket's going to be the letter. You want the letter out of us.
Yes.
So legally, we can't give you a letter on council letterhead because we lost our quorum, but Carino has all the authority as the chairman of the Plum Committee to support this project. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. And it just won't get a full board approval.
Until September. I mean, we can do a voice vote or go down the line and say whether we support this or not, but the council cannot officially give him a letter because we don't have a quorum.
So why don't we
Your committee can give him a letter because it got out of your committee. On behalf of the entire council, I apologize that we lost our quorum.
Jacob, wait a minute. Can we take a vote now, log it, and Penny had a good idea, then bring it up when we're at our retreat?
This week.
Yeah, because it's already been discussed.
Yeah, the thing with that is then we would have to, the retreat wouldn't be a retreat, it'd be an official council meeting, and we'd have to open it up to the public and do all the postings
so
and everything.
I received an email. Sorry, not to interrupt.
No, let's hear from Candy.
Mr. President, this is a disservice to you, and I apologize as a stakeholder. We also have another group here that, you know, they're not going to get their vote on. I would then suggest that we call a special meeting next week, Tuesday or Wednesday, and we force these people back here because they chose to be elected or to be appointed, and they have a responsibility to the community, and that means staying for these meetings.
I think
you're exactly right. It's
Mr. President.
If there needs a vote, when this is a great project for Van Nuys, you guys are going to hold it up.
Yeah, I support it 100%, and I think we should change our bylaws.
Now, would you object? Now, each one of us as a council member can sign a letter saying we support this project, and you could have 9 or 10 letters of support from each of us as council members. Would that be okay?
That would be acceptable.
Would it be okay if it's all the same language and we all just sign the letter?
Or just that,
like what they do in Congress where they all sign a letter and then they send it on.
That would be acceptable.
Okay, so
at the end of the day,
to save face.
At the end of the day, I just don't want our case to be delayed at the ZA level. Because right now it's being scheduled for hearing.
You've exhibited the utmost unprofessionalism on this issue, and as the president of this council, I personally apologize. Here's what I propose. Carino and the Plum Committee give you a letter of support. As the chair of the Plum Committee, he'll sign it. And then each one of us can give a letter of support as individual council members. I would like to hear from Mr. Bailey as this is not his first day with neighborhood councils. What do you suggest here, Glenn?
I would be a bit concerned about signing a letter that expresses your position on a project if you were then going to be voting on it later on, because then you've already made a decision outside the public, you know, having a quorum, that's your main problem.
Sure.
The one thing I wanted to make sure everyone understood, that your retreat is, in fact, a legal meeting of this neighborhood council
yes.
for the purposes of what you designate, and it does have to be posted.
Yes.
It does have to be agendized.
Yes.
Okay.
And you could, if you wanted to, and if you thought this would be really quick and you wanted to put up very front, you could do it in conjunction with your retreat, because you're going to have to agendize it anyway.
I'm happy with that.
And that way you would be able to take action on it.
That will be...
Thank you, Glenn.
When is your retreat scheduled?
It's Saturday, August 23rd. So, with thank you, Miriam, that's enough. Thank you. No, you have exceeded, you've well exceeded your 10 minutes.
And
we need to get through this. So, thank you, Miriam. So, Mr. Rocha, what we can do is we will table this to our retreat for the full vote of the council. But in the meantime... Carino will put a letter together as the chair of the Plum Committee, and he has all the authority to approve and support your project. And so if we get that now or this week to you, and then...
It's been approved through the Plum Committee meeting.
Yes.
And therefore, it went through the process.
That would be most appreciated.
Thank you, Ben. I apologize. One of the first things we'll be bringing up at the retreat will be maintaining a quorum. As we are elected officials, and everyone does like the title, but there is work that goes with it, and sometimes it's we're here at 9:24. So
thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, absolutely, Mr. Rincal. Yes. Well, it that's neither here nor there, because we already... Yes. Okay, yes, David.
And I'm sorry I didn't submit a card on this item, but I, driving from my Van Nuys house up Sepulveda, I've seen this project under construction for a while, and I do believe that a fence is imperative there. It's, I watched them build it, and I asked somebody that was on site, I said, you're going to be gated, right? And they said, we're working on it. And so I said, you really should do whatever you can to become gated, because along Sepulveda Boulevard, you don't want just random folks walking back and forth. And since the property is kind of a tight configuration, it's out of the public view. So I think from a public safety standpoint, a fence would be good. Thanks.
All right. So we will be using the same procedure here now for the rest of the agenda. 8G6532 North Sepulveda. Boaz Miodovsky. That's a rad name. It's like you're a famous writer or something. So, Carino, this got out of your committee just fine?
Yes.
Can we do the same procedure with your letterhead? I'll help you with this.
What's the address?
I didn't really recognize that there was...
On Sepulveda, 6532.
Okay.
And I suggested that they should get a true report as far as, addressing those matters.
Fair enough.
Whether it could be protected and preserved or...
Sepulveda.
Okay. Thank you, Donna, for that. Thank you very much.
Sepulveda and Van Owen?
This is Sepulveda between Victory and Van Owen, closer to Victory.
So, Boaz, is that right?
Yes.
Give us a two-minute briefing on this, and then we'll do the same procedure and put this on the agenda for the retreat a week from Saturday.
No problem. So, what we are proposing is a 68-unit apartment building. Currently, there's an 11-unit apartment building on site. The building, as presented, as you can see, will be a four-story over one level subterranean, one level semi-subterranean garage. We have a total height. Let me actually just remind myself of 45 feet. The building itself. What we're trying to do is we're trying to revitalize the area. We know that there's an issue and something we discussed during the planning and land use meeting with the prostitution, which has been brought up obviously numerous times here, and just talking about bringing something that the neighborhood can be proud of. What we're trying to do is bring a building that is not your typical square box. We are trying to bring a building that has some character to it, that has some articulation, something that we feel the residents of the building and the neighbors can be proud of. The, you know, at the planning and land use, we discussed a few items. We talked about security, and the way we're addressing that is multiple security cameras, security gates. But again, nothing that, you know, instead of doing the typical iron bars, we're trying to do something with a little bit of design to it. So again, to stand out, so it doesn't just kind of, we want the building to stand out. We want the building to come in and invite other type of developments into this area that's not going to be so cookie cutter. One of the issues that was brought up was, as mentioned, some protected oak trees. We did do a, and I actually have some handouts here. Let me. I was thinking, whose phone is ringing? That's rude, and that's me.
Did you want to take the call?
We take this very, very seriously, and we mentioned that the planning and land use. So we brought in our landscape architect to do a tree report, and we did identify that there are oak trees. There are oak trees that are native to California, but they're planted oak trees as opposed to naturally grown on the site. Nonetheless, our goal is to do our best. There's one tree, which is the larger mature tree that's closer to the property line, to the front property line. And the landscape architect is here to answer questions if need be. The tree is not in the best of shape. That's not to say that your tree can't be saved, but we are suffering through a drought, and the tree is what was the word you used?
Understressed.
It's under stress due to drought and lack of irrigation. Again, not saying that it can't be revitalized. Currently, the way the tree sits, it sits in the side yard. It sits away from the building. It's very close to the property line. We have an 8-foot setback, and we actually don't start our subterranean garage until about, I'd say about 15 to 20 feet. So it's in an area where it's kind of. The idea is it's possible to save. I'm not going to sit here and promise you that it's going to go perfect because it's literally like the way that it's growing, for instance, it's right there on the line. So we're looking at the options of what we can do to trim it back a little bit. And toward the top, because the other concern that the owners have, of course, is the roots growing in and doing damage to the subterranean and to the foundation, which is an obvious concern. I think the important thing is that we are taking it seriously, and we are looking as to what we can do to protect the tree, and hoping that it can be revitalized. There's another oak tree that's set a little bit further back. It's a smaller tree. I don't see that being able to be saved, so it's more like that's, yeah. So the goal is to try and save the larger one and do our best, trim it back a little bit. But again, it's literally at the corner of the building, and the way it is now, it would actually be pushing up against the building toward the top. So we're working with the landscape architect to see what the options are and how exactly we're going to keep the tree.
Very good. Karina, same procedure? Yes, Joseph.
I see in the picture over here a grassy area. It looks like a park. Are you going to – is this just for illustration or it's
– Which rendering are you on? Is that
right
to the
inside.
To the right of the building? That's just on the rendering. There's actually a building there. It's part of the rendering. It's actually not – you know, it's like filler on the rendering.
So there's not a grassy area over there?
Yeah, there's not. That's actually – that would be – that's a building.
Carino, can we adopt the same procedure and?
It's to throw us off, see? The building is nice, though.
We actually just got the tree report. Our landscape architect, I'll let him answer that one.
The tree report's being filed with Urban Forestry next week. Okay. So we should get a response back from within the week after that. Within that week, probably, if we get it to a Monday, Tuesday. We're putting in for a mitigation plan for the oak in front to install drip irrigation, to add amendment for it. During construction, to have a part of it will be a licensed arborist, a certified arborist, tree trimming company that has a certified arborist to appropriately trim the tree. Also, for any root pruning, also have the tree service with the arborist there for proper root pruning to do our best to mitigate all the issues and get the tree back with nutrients and water, because it's been off water for a number of years, it looks like. Yeah. And it's under stress. Yeah. So we can bring the tree back up, and then they're going to do some surgery. But it should be okay to survive. Okay. And then as far as the other tree, that'll be a 2-to-1 replacement. More than likely, because it's oaks and we don't have oaks in the plant, that'll probably be oaks donated to a park or somewhere in the area.
Sure. There was another thing that Boaz mentioned, that wanted some kind of feedback as far as the back of the property, the area. Do you still want...
Well, I mean, it was just kind of brought up because we butt some R1 toward the rear. The way that the property is set up, though, is that it's a portion that's R4, and then as you get all the way to the back, there's a portion of their property that's owned it's roughly about 5 feet is R1. Then it's the property line and it's the abutting neighbor. So the question was asked, what are you going to do with it? Well, we're not going to build on it because you're not allowed to. You can use it we're thinking of using the area for an open space, which, we were open to some suggestions if there were any.
A little park, barbecue.
Landscape at the seaport we're going to do back here. But the one issue I have with the meeting next week is I'm actually out of town next weekend. I think at this point we're ready in site plan review. They're getting ready to issue their determination. I don't know how much longer she said she was. Yeah, she said she was finishing up a project and she'd get to ours. I think with a letter from planning and land use, I think that would be more than sufficient to work. And then what more likely than not, I'd have to, if we want to do an official vote, I'm happy to come back at the next hearing. Unfortunately, I'm just not going to be here for the agenda.
If you want to ask our opinions as far as what to do with the back, you can, it's discretionary whether you want our feedback or not, or maybe you just want to put something like a covered patio or some kind of area.
You're not allowed a covered area. Right now, the landscape plan shows such trees to give a little bit of a buffer between the actual R1 and what's there, but you're actually not allowed to build any structures. Oh, okay. So, because it's basically it's for the use, because the use is being towards a building. You can't do a use for a more restrictive zone. So it's R1, but you're using it for like an R4 use. Can't do it.
Okay.
So. I think if you can issue that letter, I can submit, we can go ahead and give that, and then from there, if we're more than happy to come back to the next. Well, we're actually doing that because the way that the rear is, it's the rec room. It's actually what we're creating is an indoor-outdoor space where the doors are sliding doors that are going to open. So it's going to create one big opening. So there will be seating. I won't do fire pits because if there are children there, fire pits are usually actually very dangerous. I know if I have a 2-year-old, I wanted a fire pit, didn't want a crispy daughter, so I said we'll hold off on the fire pit for a few years. So fire pits aren't, but there will be seating. It's a true community, and that's really what we're trying to go with.
Karina, you can get the letter to them.
Yeah,
perfect.
Awesome. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, going down the list, Howard, do you want to do the community impact statement or wait till next week?
No, I'll do it very quickly.
And then we'll have it on the agenda for the... for the retreat.
Council File 13-1493, the City of Los Angeles motion for food merchandise sale by street vendors on city sidewalks and parkways within the City of Los Angeles. On June 25th, 2014, the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council held a special meeting, committee meeting, to discuss pending legislation by the City of Los Angeles, CF 13-43, which would permit food and merchandise sale by street vendors on city sidewalks and parkways within the City of Los Angeles. It was the committee's job to develop consensus of opinion from stakeholders and members of the business community as to their reaction to the pending legislation and refer that to the full council. Refer to the full council of Van Nuys Neighborhood Council its findings for assurance of a community impact statement. That should be issuance, I'm sorry, of a community impact statement to the full Los Angeles City Council. The meeting was attended by stakeholders and local business owners, and the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council members had the following concerns raised at that meeting. Nothing was proposed in the bill to prevent sidewalk vendors from offering like services and merchandise on doorsteps of brick and mortar businesses. Two, nothing was proposed in the bill to prevent street vendors from establishing a point of sale sites on city sidewalks and parkways on any commercial or residential street. No provision was made to license or bond vendors or protect consumers. Four, no provisions were stipulated to enforce health codes on street vendors. Five, in case of food vendors, how would their waste disposal be handled? Would they own and operate their own waste receptacles that were taxed by the City of Los Angeles, or use residential street trash cans, or even worse, use city-supplied trash cans on city streets? This was referring to uneaten food and food wrappers that would be involved. Six, how would these vendors be regulated, inspected, and issued a grade? Would they be inspected and issued a grade of cleanliness and proper food handling by the health department? Seven, how would sales tax be reported and collected from street vendors? And eight, and finally, how would the products and services be sold by street vendors be regulated and policed for authenticity and quality, i.e. knockoff merchandise or offered services without proper training or licenses? These are some of the concerns mentioned at that meeting. We go on further to say it was the findings of the committee that and reported to the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council at the July 8, 2014 General Council meeting that the special committee opposed the passage of CF 13-1493 by the Los Angeles City Council. It was voted on by the full council board of the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council, and a letter of non-support and community impact statement should be issued to the City of Los Angeles City Council. A vote was taken and the motion was passed to issue a letter of non-support of CF 1343 by a vote of 19 in favor, none opposed. The Van Nuys Neighborhood Council supports and encourages business encourages the business community and associated tax revenue generated by new established businesses. However, until the infrastructure can be created to mitigate the above raised issues, we feel that it's not in the best interest of the stakeholders and community of the City of Los Angeles to allow CF 13-1493 to go into law. That's the community impact statement I wish to submit. I've been given further language by Maria Schertzer, which I will take into advisement, and we can use this for a template. But the gist of this, are you happy with it, Maria, the statement I made? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's address it at the retreat. Yes, sir.
First of all, I'm in full support. This is this new council file. This is the worst thing that could happen to the city of Los Angeles. First of all, we have an underground economy that's killing us, and this is just going to further that. If you want to see what happens around our church, St. Elizabeth, that's what's going to happen throughout the city. So I support that. But you're going to sign on to an additional language that you don't even know, Mr. President? So before that language is added to...
No, there is no additional language. This is the language.
Yeah, he just verified.
I'm talking about the form of this community impact statement.
Anyway, this is a good one. This is something that you really do have to support.
All right, so let's put this on the agenda for the retreat.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I just would like to point out that the additional language is actually taken from a community impact statement that is submitted to the council file, which opposes it. That are opposed to it. So it's nothing.
Yeah.
Fuzzy.
Excellent. Excellent.
Mr. Bailey.
Please.
I don't know if you're still recording.
Yeah, we are. So I have been to a number of neighborhood councils, a number of presentations, and I think this presentation you've heard here tonight is one of the best I've heard. So congratulations on that, Mr. Benjamin. A couple thoughts just to think about going forward. Is this may end up being like the, I'm blanking out on mural ordinance, where because there were a number of council members that wanted it, they said, we'll specify which areas can allow have this and which areas won't have this. So be aware of that. The other concern that I have or that has been expressed is, right now, it's illegal to do vending on public sidewalks or parkways, and the city is incapable of enforcing that. And so the question remains then, if they pass this and legalize it in some form in some places, how all of a sudden are they now going to be able to enforce, on a more selective basis, places maybe not here but here? I mean, I don't think they've really thought this out. The last thing is, this was presented at LANC, the LANC meeting 2 months ago, and just be aware we are there. The process is awaiting. Last I saw, one more report back. They were given 90 days for May to report back. We're really right now at that cusp of the 90 days for another report back from, I think it's the CLA's office, regarding some of the details. They've had one report back from CAO, and I think CLA, or it could be the opposite. So anyway, just I'm sure you'll be monitoring it. But anyway, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Beautiful. That will be on the agenda for our retreat. Going down the list, you guys, so we can get out of here, resubmit the VNC bylaws from 2012. We'll put that on the agenda. Funding for the Congress of Neighborhood Councils event on September 20th. $500, that will be on the agenda. Submit a community impact statement in regards to street vending as it relates to the bail bonds industry. That is Howard and Mr. Hopp's baby, so if we get language on that, we'll address that next week from Saturday.
If I can step in on this, I just think that this is too specific, and I don't know that with a generalized statement that I've constructed, I don't see how... I just don't see where there's room for this thing. I mean, it's.
No, I think you're right. You specialize it. It should be in general.
Yeah, yeah.
For any kind of vending.
I talked to Mr. Hopp today, and I told him that the CAS had been prepared, and that we did not receive any wording from him. That was supposed to be in by Sunday of last week. At this point, I would love to, but I just don't. I don't see how a general statement can be specificity of bail bondsmen can be introduced into.
No, I think the general statement covers everything. Covers no matter what kind of vending you're going to do. Yeah. You didn't specify if it's food or clothing.
He didn't submit the language in time. We can readdress it at another time.
No, you just leave it the way it is. It's fine.
I'm saying this particular item.
I think it's fine.
Update from council office in regards to special event honoring Monica Benavides.
Just quickly, Mr. President, on our end, we have everyone ready. You know, it's going on 3 years.
engineers in October that it was all submitted. 1,500 signatures. The council supported it. And, I mean, it just support everywhere. We're ready to go. She was hospitalized twice. I hope she makes it before. It's in the council's office. I hope the council is working on this for Ms. Benavides. It's a minor thing. I'm hoping that, you know, we can get it done before she passes.
Address current posting requirements. That'll be on the agenda next week also. Any announcements? Anyone have anything?
No. I want you to work on a language that specified that members of the council have to adhere to, I mean, all the time they were here, from the beginning, to come on time and to leave at the end. I mean, they took an oath. I mean, I have things to do, unless it's an emergency. Yep. And I can't believe the same people have emergencies every time we have a meeting.
Penelope.
Do whatever we have to do, except we have to run it like a regular council meeting. You can't just invite people to come and, you know, you live in the middle.
Members to offer an excuse?
Address the issues and get through it. That's all it is.
I mean, the same people. They come late and they leave early.
That is the fact.
Johnny come lately, yes.
Yes. So without further ado, it is my honor and privilege as the chair of this council to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
George, wasn't
carry on
about the
direction. You carry on, yes.
No, I don't.
Yes.
You know it's not a local issue.
I was talking about.
Well, what about Gaza? What about
ISA,
Iraq?
ISA.
What about Gaza? Gaza. Don't you know anything about Gaza?
Yeah, I know, but they also have women problems too.
Yeah, they both. You know what? Women have no rights in the money.
I'll take the papers.
No rights whatsoever. They are abusing, they kill them. You know, if a woman cheats. If the men cheat, they raise their luck. Yeah, he gets rewarded. So, what's wrong with this picture? But I'm working on the little guy. I'm not working, but I, you know, the big prostitutes, they're going to be there for it. I'm working on my.
If you want to, if there's an important thing that needs to be passed, I think it'd be a good idea to do it at the beginning of the meeting.
That is a good idea.
Yeah.
And the same people leave all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Same people.
That's
they come late
idea.
And they leave early. I want to go too.
Appreciate me, George.
Rachel wants me home.
You're all good. Yeah. Here, you guys are all good.
Thank you for the
idea. No, I am here. I'm here.
That is a great idea. Exactly.
So Don is going to be in touch with Nuri, I guess, and we're going to have a meeting.
I promise some sort of 10 p.m. curfew somehow.
Right?
Without being vicious, but you know, some sort of sense of, you know, we really are 10 p.m. curfew. You guys can stay till 10. That's the least you can do.
Yes. We have to come on time. It starts at 7 o'clock. You got to be here by 7 o'clock.
I was here on time.
I understand if there's an emergency.
But every time,
emergency, come on. I make $6 an hour and I'm here.
I think they like the title, but they don't like the work.
It doesn't fly, I'm sorry. It doesn't fly. It doesn't come with the territory. You took an oath, you want to be a member, you got to stick to it.
Yes.
You got to do the job.
I know.
Am I here all the time on time?
You are rock solid.
And the president is here on time?
I